Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. I want to share a quick story with you. A number of years ago, Tim Keller, the late Tim Keller, he died a few years ago of cancer, but he was the pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City. He and Kathy, his wife, planted this church, this Bible-believing, Christ-centered, gospel-centered, disciple-making church in the middle of New York City, in Manhattan, of all places, and led that church faithfully for decades. And they asked him one time, you know, Tim, if you were to give the American church one thing, what would you give the American church? And his answer was, I think, surprising. He said, I would give the American church a greater theology of suffering. He said, we just don't know how to suffer well, by and large. Well, there's no, perhaps no greater book in the scriptures, or no greater book ever written on suffering than the book of Job. That's what we're working our way through, 5 weeks in the book of Job. Job is known throughout the centuries as the godly sufferer, this man who suffers seemingly unjustly. The first two chapters, we were in chapter 1 and 2 and this past Sunday, and it establishes the fact that Job, though, you know, Job was a sinner like everyone else, the book explicitly states that he was a righteous man, that he was blameless in God's sight, that he trusted the Lord, he had faith in the Lord, and that his suffering is not a result of his sin. Job is a righteous man. God is pleased with him, but there's this conversation that goes on in heaven between God and Satan, and Satan is trying to prove that Job doesn't really love or trust God, and so he tells God, if you take away all the success that you've given Job, and you take this hedge of protection you've put around him away, and you afflict Job, then he's going to curse you to your face. And God, in his sovereignty and wisdom, and it's very jarring to read, but God allows the enemy, allows Satan to afflict Job. And so in the first couple of chapters, what you see is that Job loses his wealth, he loses his health, he loses his children, his livelihood, everything that he has, virtually everything he has, except for his wife and his life, is taken away. And there's a section where Job chapter 1, verse 20, this is after he's lost his children, after he's lost everything that he owns virtually, and his life has fallen apart. It says in chapter 1, verse 20, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 22 says, in all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Verse 20 in particular, where he tore his robe, he shaved his head, these are all pictures of grief in their culture. Job is grieving. He is not taking these things lightly. I mean, he's lost, the unimaginable has happened. He's lost his children. He's lost everything he owns, his life, his wealth, his family. It's fallen apart. And it says he fell on the ground. He is grieving. He is lamenting. And yet it also says that he worshiped. And when I read that, I think to myself, I don't think we often put those two things together, that we can be grieving and weeping and crying out to God, God, what is happening here? And at the same time that we can be worshiping and say, God, the Lord gives and you take away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. That challenges me personally, but it's kind of at the heart of the book of Job. You know, throughout the book, Job, he never curses God. People are kind of saying, his friends argue with him, you know, you have to have sinned, that's why this came upon you. His wife tells him, just curse God and die. And Job maintains, no, I'm innocent. Right, he maintains his integrity, and at the same time, he maintains his faith. And something I said on Sunday, I just kind of summarized it by saying that, you know, Job shows us we can worship even while we weep. I think sometimes as Christians, we have a tendency to try to overlook pain, or we want to get back to comfort as quickly as possible, or we want to try to explain what's going on. And the book challenges all of these things and says, you know what, it's okay to just acknowledge the world is broken, suffering hurts. Sometimes things aren't okay. But sometimes, right, there's a tendency if you sit there, you go, and God is not good, and I'm going to be mad at God, and I'm going to turn away from God. He can't be all good. He can't be all powerful if this is happening. But Job shows this tension of you can say, man, it is not good right now. Things are terrible, and yet I'm going to worship, and I'm going to cling to God in the midst of this. And I think that the way we get there, I think, it's not simply by saying, well, I'll just try to be more like Job. I think that we cling to the Lord by looking to Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 talks about this, that we look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is seated now at the right hand of God the Father. If we're going to learn to suffer well, I think one of the steps in that is we look to our suffering Savior. We recognize that Jesus was the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and he suffered with us, and he suffered for us. And as we follow him, he tells us that suffering is going to be part of the road in which we walk. And that doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. It doesn't mean that he's not with us. He does love us. He's shown us that in the life, death, and resurrection of his son Jesus, who suffered again with us and for us. And so we look to Jesus and we fix our eyes there. And Lord willing, by his Spirit, as we cling to the Lord, we learn to suffer well, to worship even while we weep. Let me pray for you. I would encourage you to take some time to pray today. Father, we love you. God, sometimes life is hard. Will you keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the one who suffered in our place. And God, as we suffer, help us to cling to you, to worship even while we weep, Father, and to trust that you are good. God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take some time now to reflect and to pray.